It's the Tarncast, Tarncast. 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 It's the Tarncast, Tarncast. This is the Tarncast, Tarncast. The Tarncast, the Tarncast.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Tarncast. I am your host, Tobin Shenanigan. And I'm here with a very special guest, Todd Robert Anderson.
Hello, Tobin.
Hello, Todd. It's nice to have you on the show.
It's a great honor to be on your show.
Now, for the people out there who don't know who you are, can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I was born in Boston, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised in a small town called Sherburn.
Mm.
Developed a dream to become an actor at a very early age. Decided to attend university.
Mm-hmm.
I went to New York University, private university in the public service.
I don't understand that.
I don't either. That's what they said it was. And then I moved out to Los Angeles and started a career in commercials. And I do guest stars on television programs.
Mm-hmm.
And I've appeared in the occasional feature film.
Now, you have a new movie that's coming out right now, don't you?
Yes, it's called Fuzz Track City.
Excellent.
I play Murphy Dunn, a down-and-out private detective who's hired by a sultry woman to find her missing son. It is called... did I say what it was called?
I believe you said it was called Fuzz Track City.
Oh, yes.
But you should let us know what it's called again.
It's called Fuzz Track City, just to reiterate. It was selected to be part of the film festival Dances with Films, which is a fiercely independent film festival, and you know, they celebrate very small indie movies, and we will we're, you know, it's our world premiere. It's this Monday, June the 4th, at 7:15 at the Man Chinese 6.
Excellent, excellent. Yes. Well, as you may know, and as all the listeners know, I like to have kind of a topical show. I like to discuss topics of the moment of interest on particular themes. And as we're in an election year, I thought it might be interesting to talk about being a citizen of the United States, and specifically... some of the questions that new people who want to become citizens have to answer in order to pass a silly test.
Oh, okay.
So what I have is I went through and I went through the civics questions for the naturalization test.
Oh.
And what I found was very interesting. There's 100 questions in this test that you have to prepare for.
100?
100, but you're only asked 10 of them. It's like a driver's test.
Oh, it's like you have a whole booklet, and you have to study it, know everything, and then they ask you 10 questions at random.
And you have to get 6 right out of 10, and then you pass that portion of the citizenship test. And some of the questions are quite interesting. Some of them are a little silly.
Mm-hmm.
What I found most interesting, though, was some of the questions, about 19 of them or so, had a little asterisk next to them. And they were marked, if you are 65 years old or older and have been a legal permanent resident of the United States for 20 or more years, you may study just the questions that have been marked with an asterisk.
Hmm.
So if you've basically just been hanging out for a while and are old, so, you only have to answer...
But you're not actually a citizen, you're a resident, but a citizen.
Right. Legal permanent resident.
I see.
And you're old. So I figured, okay...
Actually, that would be my father-in-law, really.
Ah, okay, yeah. So these are, and there's only about 19 of them that are required. So I thought, you know, we talk about them and, you know, see what you get right.
I'm sure I'm not going to do well.
And actually, I think you will.
I always thought if, you know, back when Jay Leno did this stuff on The Tonight Show, yeah. if I saw him coming towards me on the street with a camera and a microphone, I would run away so I didn't look like an idiot on national television.
Well, what's funny is I have 19 of these questions that were the asterisks. Mm-hmm. questions, and then two that I went, why weren't these asterisked? let's just start in the first section of American government.
I think before yes. we start, I need to make it clear that I am not over 65.
No, you are not over 65, but you have been resident of the United States for more than 20 years.
Yeah, well, I'm already a citizen, yeah. so honestly, I don't need to know shit to stay here.
Well, yeah, no, that's the real reward of being a natural citizen is you don't have to know anything.
Proud to be an American.
But so this first section is American government. It's from section A, part A, mm-hmm. Principles of American Democracy.
Oh gosh.
Now, okay. Answer me this question.
Uh huh.
What is one right or freedom? From the First Amendment.
From the First Amendment?
The First Amendment.
Right to free speech?
Absolutely correct.
Oh, yeah! I got one!
You are well on your way.
Okay, I can stay.
Do you know any of the other ones?
No.
They're all related, but it's freedom of speech, of religion, of assembly, of press.
Oh, right.
Or to petition the government. Yes, right, yeah, that kind of stuff. The next question is, what is the economic system in the United States?
The economic system?
The economic system. The system of economy.
You mean like capitalism?
Exactly. It's capitalist economy. Market economy would also have been
accepted. Market economy, yeah. That's.
The next section is section B, system of government. Name one branch or part of the government.
Congress.
That is correct.
Yeah, I'm three for three, you guys. Are there people... Are there people who don't know these things? Like, some general knowledge of these things?
I would hope not. I mean, like, some of the other questions we can look at later, like, from the whole 100 list, some of them are like, oh, crap. They get pretty specific.
I always wonder, too, though, when you have, like, a camera, like, you know, when the stand-up comics do this to make idiots of people walking on the street, and you have a camera shoved in your face,
you freeze, you know? Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
system of government, and it's, yeah. you know, as soon as you walk away, you're like, what? Of course I know that! But it's like, Jay Leno's in your face, so it's like, oh, this must be a trick, you know.
And that's enough to make anybody shut down mentally.
Yeah, I don't think I would be able to answer any questions with Jay Leno in my face.
No. What are two parts of the U.S. Congress? What are the two parts of the U.S. Congress?
The two parts of the U.S. Congress?
The two parts of the U.S. Congress.
The House of Representatives?
Correct.
And the Senate?
Correct.
Oh, well done. I don't even know really what they do.
No one does.
I don't know.
All we know is they do it in two separate areas.
Two separate places, yeah. different rooms, different meetings.
Both accomplishing the same nothing.
Yes, and then constantly getting in each other's way. Outside of that, I don't understand.
And sending memos.
And yeah, and they talk. Memos, yeah. yeah, they're on TVs a lot.
Now, we reside in the great state of California.
We do.
Yeah, which is pretty much out of money.
Yes.
So that's fantastic.
It is. It's wonderful.
So
hasn't California pretty much always been almost out of money?
I think so.
I mean, it's since I've been here for... Yeah. Let me see, I moved here in 95, so 17 years. Well, I remember the economy
pretty
in
much
California.
In our lifetimes, like since the 70s, the
yeah,
California has always been out of money.
Yeah, I don't yeah. So it's just the state.
That's just how it is.
Yeah, which is why we're, you know, slowly legalizing pot completely. Yeah. And that will turn us.
Yeah. Whew, no, it's California's the state rich. Under the national underpass.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you spare some
can
change?
Can you spare some change? Need work.
Who is one of our state U.S. state senators right now?
Right now?
Right now.
Oh. I don't know.
State of California.
Representatives in the Senate.
U.S. Senator.
Is...
One of our two U.S. senators.
You're gonna
kick yourself.
I know. No. Yeah, it's not coming to me.
Barbara Boxer.
And? The other one.
Dianne Feinstein.
I knew it was ladies.
Well, I would have given you partial credit if you would have said it's ladies.
It's ladies. Yeah. I should know that because they're constantly sending me emails.
Exactly.
That I delete without reading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, it's you've in your mental spam folder, you've put them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't know. I don't care.
Because it doesn't seem like any senator actually accomplishes anything.
I don't know what they've ever done. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they've done a lot that has indirectly affected me in a grand scheme, but they honestly, it's like I said, I don't really understand what the Senate does, so why would I care who's there?
Exactly.
Hmm.
Here's a hard one.
Yeah.
In what month do we vote for president?
In what month?
In what month?
November?
Correct.
Yeah.
You answered that like you thought the question was a little too easy.
Yeah.
There was a trick.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's not a trick.
It's not a trick.
It's not a trick.
Okay.
That is a question.
That's it.
If you've been a permanent legal resident for more than 20 years and are over the age of 65.
You might be aware of that, but at the same time, I can understand missing that because you haven't voted because you're not a citizen.
Yes, that's true.
Because for me, it's ingrained, because ever since I've voted, that's the election that seems to matter the most.
Yeah.
I always vote in these California elections, but I look at the ballot, and I read all the stuff that I can read, and I vote, and then I instantly forget about all the people that I just voted for.
Well,
I just make the best decisions.
Because
and then
there's no other information through the rest of the next year or two about what's been going on with them. So you just, you get all those little packets in the mail, and you go through them, and maybe you go to their websites.
Yeah.
And look up their statements, and then they maybe Google to see if someone says, I got dirt on this scumbag.
Right.
And, he's lying. And then
you vote, and then you forget about it.
And you just go, you just jam the little ink pen in the thing and call it a day.
Yeah.
What's the name of the president of the United States right now?
Morgan Spurlock. No, that's a documentarian. Barack Obama.
Correct.
Correct. I got that.
What's the capital of the great state of California?
Sacramento.
That's absolutely correct. It is Sacramento. I've never been to Sacramento.
I haven't either.
I've never had a desire to go to Sacramento.
I don't either. There's a lot of...
That's nothing, and there's nothing like I think it's a bad place or anything. It's never occurred to me to go to Sacramento.
It has never occurred to me either. It seems like a long drive for not that interesting.
Yeah, I think you can take the train there, can't you?
But like state capitals that's a weird thing. I mean, it's like if you're in Massachusetts, it makes sense to go to that state capital.
Yeah.
But if you're in New York, you really you want to go to New York City.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Not the state capital. Yeah. I mean, I don't. That's,
which is what, Albany?
Albany.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's points for me.
Yeah, points for you. You get to be a citizen.
Fantastic. What are the two major political parties in the United States?
Libertarian and independent.
Incorrect. It is money and more money.
Oh, I knew that. Right. Yeah. See, that's the other thing. That's why I forgot the names of the damn California senators is because they're just rich people and they can go do their rich person job. What do they do? Do you know what they've done?
I know they haven't created jobs.
Yeah. And we're still broke.
Yeah.
It's like remembering the names of, it's like remembering who C. Thomas Howell is if you're not in the
I remember who C. Thomas Howell
is. Yeah, but you grew up. He affected us with Soul Man and Red Dawn. That's not a good example.
A much more positive effect on my life than a lot of politicians.
It's like knowing who Robert Ginty is. Who is the star of Exterminator? I don't know. Why would you?
What is one responsibility that is only for United States citizens? That's the phrasing of the question.
A responsibility that's only for United States
citizens.
Citizens. A Responsibility.
It's a responsibility. You can think of it as an obligation.
Taxes?
No, because if you do business in the U.S., you, taxes get collected even if you're a foreign.
Oh, I see.
This is for citizens.
So citizens only.
Yeah.
What is...
The phrasing's a little wonky. It's...
The responsibility.
You could also say, what is one right that is only for United States citizens? Would be another way you could almost phrase it.
U.S. citizens.
You've already said it once earlier when we were discussing something else. You mentioned one of these two acceptable answers.
I did.
You did.
But
then you started talking about Jay Leno and froze up.
Oh, yeah.
One of which you have to do every now and then the other one you always try and get out of.
I mean, is it,
no one wants to do one, and the other one people
a responsibility
only do
is voting a responsibility?
That is considered a responsibility, voting in a federal election.
Really?
Yeah.
But so many people don't.
Well, so many people don't live up to their responsibilities.
Oh. Well, your responsibility is a choice then.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. It's weird when a government says you have a responsibility. It generally sounds like...
Well, it's a responsibility in the sense that the idea is that the only way this a democratic government functions correctly is if people participate in the elections.
Yeah, that's true. That's funny.
Serving on a jury is the other one.
Oh, of course. Which is, you... Like, these days, that's not something that you can get out of.
Generally. Not anymore, no. No.
So there's more people who... Like, that sounds like a responsibility to me. The government is saying, you have this responsibility, you have to do this.
Yeah.
But voting, it's like, you have this responsibility, you have to do this, but no one gets fined for not voting.
Well, no, but it's because it's, you can't... You can mandate somebody, like, you got to sit here and listen to this evidence and render a verdict, but you can't really mandate, like, I have to make you choose what you want to choose in this election, because not voting is also a legitimate exercise of that responsibility. Like, if you legitimately say, there's no one I can vote for because I think they're all terrible, then, by not voting, you're exercising. Most people don't even put that much into it. They just go, it's pointless, and so I'm not going to bother.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting.
The court's got to put butts in seats.
That's true.
It's like trying to get somebody to come to your, 99-seat theater show.
The third responsibility you have as a U.S. citizen is to come see my play. You don't want to miss this one.
See, I can either serve on a jury or go to...
I have to vote, I have to serve on a jury, and I have to go to my friend's play. I'm pretty sure I can get out of jury duty and I can just blow off voting with this play thing. Ugh, God damn it.
I'm going to hear about it for years if I don't go.
And then when I do my play, they're not going to come to mine unless I go to theirs.
Even though it is, their responsibility as a United
that
States
is
citizen.
To come to the play.
How old do citizens have to be to vote for president?
18.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
But they can't drink till they're 21.
Right. But they can get drafted and thrown into a war and shot to death.
That pisses me off so much.
If anything, there should be. It's like, okay, I understand like the legal limit for regular citizens, but I think as soon as you enter the armed forces, then if you can be given a gun and asked to shoot somebody or be shot, you can at least have a beer.
Hell yeah. And you know what? That's a really good recruitment scheme.
Join the army. Get drunk early.
Develop alcoholic tendencies before you're 21.
Be all that you can be.
The few, the proud, the drunk.
The blasted. That's... Okay, now that we've...
Take note.
Making a mockery.
Take note, recruiters.
Let's move on to American history questions.
American history.
And these are all. Actually, there's only one that was asterisk starred. Who was the first president?
George Washington.
Correct. And then here's one from the American history period that I thought was, like, interesting. How come this wasn't asterisked?
Okay.
What group of people was taken to America and sold as slaves?
What group of people?
What group of people?
You mean as they're referred to now, or as they were...
Just a point of origin.
African.
Yeah, Africans, yeah. But that's not important. That's not important enough in U.S. history that everybody should probably really...
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of things that are important about U.S. history that get glossed over. And, like, slavery at this point is something that American historians, classic American historians, are forced to deal with. You don't hear a lot about Japanese internment camps, you know?
Well, you do because of George Takei and the musical that's going to Broadway.
There's more awareness now, but I mean, I think
but
also that's the internet
never
age,
about,
but
yeah.
I never heard about Japanese internment camps until, you know, I was old enough to actually go out and try to learn things on my own that weren't spoon-fed to me by, you know, the public school system. That's, you know, interesting to me. I mean, slavery, they had no choice because there's such a huge amount of civil rights movements about that, but there's not.
But that's what I found so interesting is that wasn't one of the starred questions that, like, even asked the people.
Even now, it's not so important.
Yeah.
Right.
But then they do ask, what was one important thing that Abraham Lincoln did?
Oh, he freed the slaves.
Correct. They also would accept saved or preserved the Union or led the United States during the Civil War.
That's the way a Southerner might answer that question.
And technically all important things.
Yeah, all important things.
Now we're going to go to recent American history and other important historical information.
Oh, okay.
Name one war fought by the United States in the 1900s.
In the 1900s? The Mexican-American War?
Not quite.
The American-Mexican War?
If you say the War of 1812,
Spanish...
this is over. This whole thing is over.
In the 1900s, the Civil War was in. I don't really know my chronology.
Right, well, yeah, no, those are all wrong.
What was fought in the 1900s?
World War One. World War II.
Oh, you know what?
War,
that's so
Vietnam
funny. I was
War,
thinking...
Persian Gulf War.
I was thinking 1800s. I was like, why would he ask me about 1900s? I heard 1800s.
I said 1900s.
You did, but in my head, I heard 1800s. Why would he... You said recent history.
So you heard, like, 19th century.
See, this is why people get fucked up on Jay Leno. Yeah, that's what I heard.
You just Leno'd.
I Leno'd out.
You just Leno'd.
I Leno'd out. Sorry about that.
What did Martin Luther King Jr. do?
Martin Luther King Jr. Was a civil rights leader. And,
correct.
Okay. That's
yeah, fought for civil rights, worked for equality for all Americans. That's all. You know, here's another interesting one in this historical section that was not asterisked, not starred. So you've been sitting here for a while. You don't have to worry about this. Name one American Indian tribe in the United States.
American Indian tribe, Apache Indians?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. I was trying to think of the name of casinos.
Moving on to integrated civics.
Uh-oh.
What's the capital of the United States?
Washington, D.C.
Absolutely correct. Where is the Statue of Liberty?
In New York?
Correct. Even when the Ghostbusters have animated it.
It stays in New York.
Yeah, it does not leave New York. And the last starred question is, why does the flag have 50 stars?
Because of 50 states?
That is correct.
My goodness gracious.
Amazing. You've answered most of those. You really only got one blazingly wrong.
Yeah, and that's just because that was hilarious.
But you got to six correct before that question,
and
so you would have passed.
I'm understanding a lot about the psychology about being asked questions, especially, you know, I wasn't expecting history questions at all today. I might have, you know, boned up a little bit. But when you're unprepared, And when you're blasted with these questions, you don't want to seem stupid, and you panic. That's what happened to me. As soon as I heard history, because my history is admittedly bad.
You went full on panic.
I went full on panic, and you said 19th century, and I just immediately thought 18th century.
No, I said 1900s, and you thought 19th century.
Right, right, exactly.
That's what happened. That's
what you went to, yeah. So that's awesome.
And that's why you are now on a government watch list.
That'll be fine. Barbara Boxer's pissed too.
But here, like some of the questions that are like for if you, you know, you have to draw from all 100. Some of them get like really specific, where it's like, oh shit, I probably get this wrong. Like really, like ones like how many amendments does the Constitution have?
Oh my god. Oh my god. I don't know.
Like I know the I was like I know, I would know import, the ball, I would know the ballpark, but the exact number
I don't know.
I would flub on.
What is the exact?
It's 27.
27.
Yeah.
And that's so funny too. Well, that I don't. You know that I'm. The other thing about history, for me personally, because you know my brain is like a steel sieve. I mean, all the stuff that I learned, and it's like half the time, all you know, when I'm playing Trivial Pursuit or whatever. Which isn't often, but I'll get questions, and it's always, I get so many oh yeahs. I mean, always in an oh yes, oh yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Oh yeah, but it's never, you know, right there, ready for me. But I think that's like anything. It's like, I tried to sit down and do an algebra equation, and I haven't done algebra in like 10 years, and I just sat down and tried to do it, and I was good at algebra in high school, but I can't do it now.
No, it's atrophy. It's a skill. It's you atrophied. Have to keep doing it, otherwise it's like
so
speaking a language.
You're not going to be great at history questions and all that, if they're really specific. I mean, the general ones, I guess. But if you're not a historian, or at least, you know, a hobbyist
who
continues that, you're going to forget that stuff.
And here, you know, and here's some like under like some crazy ones that are just, you know, you don't think about it now because... It doesn't make sense that these things had to be amended, but there are 4 amendments to the Constitution about who can vote. Describe one of them.
Who can vote?
About who can vote.
There are
4 amendments.
About
who can vote.
So, like, women can vote.
Right,
like,
yeah, that was suffrage. Any citizen can vote, became women and men can vote. Then there were, like, 18, it was another one, being 18, establishing the specific age. And then there are 2 more.
Okay. What are they?
One basically is just, you don't have to pay. There's no tax to vote, and then a male citizen of any race can vote.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, and then those are amendments. You're like, oh, that's yeah.
I guess we needed those. Yeah.
It's because that wasn't specified good enough.
Yes. To begin with.
Because of money.
Money, money. It's everything.
What's the last day you can send in federal tax income tax forms? Last day.
Now it's April 17th.
Oh, and this is out of date. This is April 15th.
They changed that. They extended it. So, I may not know what wars were fought in the 1900s, but I know when my taxes are due. And what's more important?
When must all men register for the Selective Service?
When they're 18.
Mm-hmm. And there's actually a range.
Oh, there is?
Yeah, for being eligible for the draft.
What's the range?
It's between 18 and 26.
Oh, when you can actually get drafted.
Yeah.
So you have to register when you're 18, but you can get drafted up until you're 26. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. So you're, as a male, you're sexual prime. That's when you can go to war and get killed.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Horrible.
It's terrible.
Horrible. I was so scared that they were going to draft us when the first Gulf War... We declared war.
Yeah, I had friends that were had that kind of like really silly thought too.
Yeah, I did. It was weird.
At no point did I ever think there was going to be a draft. I was like, this is going to be over in weeks.
Yeah. Well, it was just you know, it was the first war since, I mean, I was born the year Vietnam
conflict, since we pulled out of that. Yeah.
So there's no wars, and, you know...
It's only like Congress can actually declare war, right? So technically, I don't think...
The Gulf
was a war. We call it a war. I think we even call it Vietnam War. Why not? Did we even declare...
Yeah, it was a conflict.
Yeah, it's actually technically a conflict.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it's all words.
And they're drafting people for a conflict. That seems like a war if you're drafting people. It seems warish. I don't know.
So Fuzz Track City.
Oh yeah, Fuzz Track City.
It's a detective show.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a noirish detective show, would you say? It's got noir elements.
It's neo-noir, I guess they call it. Neo-noir.
And what makes it? What makes a movie neo-noir?
Well, it's, you know, modern. It's noir, but it's, you know, modern. It's new.
New noir.
It's not an old black and white picture set in the 1940s. It's set in modern times, but it's got that noir feeling to it, you know.
What did you like most about making the movie?
You know, the thing I like, there's a lot to like about making the movie, but I think ultimately the thing I liked about it when we were shooting it is that we shot for almost 2 months, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It was just nice to have a place to go to act, you know, 5 or 6 days a week. as opposed to, you know, what most of my career is, which is driving around and auditioning in the hopes of getting a job that will last a couple days.
Right, right.
You know, that...
Consistency, too.
Yeah, I mean, and that hasn't happened to me. I the only other time was there was a sitcom called Nikki, short-lived, and I wasn't a series regular. I was recurring, but they used me a lot. So it was nice to go there. And then I did a movie called Replicate that lasted a little while. So it was nice to have a month or two where I was going somewhere consistently. And Fuzz Track was... There was no, you know, time off. It was just... It was nice to have a job. It was nice... It's nice to have... I mean, you want a job. I didn't get into acting to sit around and, you know, collect unemployment and residual checks and do as little as possible. I'd make those jokes that's what I do to save face and make people think that this is the life I actually chose. but I like acting, so it's not that I don't want to work. It's that I want to work. So doing that, and it was, you know, it was, I mean, I get it if you're on you wind up signing a 7-year contract on a show that you wind up hating doing and you have to stick it out for 7 years. I can guess.
Yeah, but that's really no different from just being stuck in a job you don't like.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and I would imagine that even if it's just fun to act, even if it's not necessarily something that you're passionate about. But the other good thing about Fuzz Track is because the script was so good and the story was so good, and it was just easy to key into. So I'm not going to say it was effortless. It was a lot of hard work. But as far as getting right into it at the beginning of each day, it was you know, effortless. It wasn't hard to get it up to work.
What any plans are for maybe getting it onto DVD or more available?
Well, that's the whole... The whole festival circuit game
looking to see if we can get some interest in
Monday's the world premiere, but we'll be submitting it to other festivals around the country. And so hopefully, you know, it'll get enough traction at festivals that it'll garner the interest of distributors.
Some kind of distribution.
Who say, hey, send me a screener. We heard this is good. And they'll look at it and decide if, you know, they can market it, I guess. I guess that's how it goes.
Okay. Well, that's Fuzz Track City, world premiere Monday, June 4th, starring Todd Robert Anderson. It's been my very special guest today on the Toncast. I am Tobin Shenanigan.
Thank you, Tobin.
Thank you, Todd, and thank you everyone for listening.
I've already forgotten the second senator's name.
It's okay. You're already a citizen.